Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Mary, Pat, Una, Keith. Let's begin with Mary, 51551. Joe at RT.ie. How much will you charge, Mary, for what and where?
Joe, thanks for taking the call. And let me express how annoyed and shocked I was. I was down in the Crumlin area, and I went in and was inquiring for two sausage rolls, which I saw, which looked lovely and tasty. And when your man put them in the box, brought them up to the till, and the guy at the till says, that's $9.80.
And what were you expecting to pay, Mary?
Well, I'd pay as much as €4.50 or €5 for two sausage rolls.
And how big were they? Your small finger or your right foot?
I'd say about 4 inches.
Okay. No. $9.80, okay. And you think that's too dear for two sausage rolls?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know.
Okay, stay there. Mary, Pat in Dublin. Pat.
Hi, Joe.
Dunstores, what happened?
Dunstores, yeah. The Inside Soaps magazine.
Yes, no,
really,
well,
anybody who follows them.
Yeah.
Well, it's priced $3.99 sterling. Dunstores, €6.40.
Ah, come on.
Yeah, so you know that thing, Dunstores, better value beats them all? That doesn't work anymore.
So something that costs €4, you have to add $2.50 to it, basically.
Yeah, $3.99 sterling. I would have expected to pay something around €4.80 to €5 for it.
So it's a 60% premium because they're selling it in Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay. Una Conlon, Una.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What happened? You were in the restaurant when you were asked to leave. How many empty seats were in the restaurant?
There was 48 empty seats, Joe, in the restaurant when we were asked to leave. And we had spent €360 between the four of us. Well, €324, and we left a tip.
Okay.
And we were asked to leave. Yeah.
And why were you behaving badly?
Behaving badly? No.
Why?
No, we had the table booked for 6 o'clock, and then we ordered it, had cocktails and food.
Yeah.
And
you know,
women, when they get together, have a yap.
Yeah.
And then at about 7:30, we ordered a second bottle of wine, and about 8:15, and then about 15 minutes later, the waiter came up and he said they needed the table back. Mm-hmm. And being for women of a certain age, we sort of ignored him and hadn't had tea or coffee or anything.
Well, was there people queuing at the door?
Nobody at the door, and we're looking around thinking, they're not going to need this table back. There's nobody. It was very quiet.
So there was 48 empty covers, so to speak, and you were still asked to leave. And they came to you at 7:44 to be out by 8.
Yeah.
Okay, stay there, Luna. Joe at RT.ie 51551. Keith Dowling. Keith, where are we and what happened to you, price-wise?
So I was leaving Dublin Airport this morning. Mm-hmm. And I ordered in the garden terrace bar, I ordered two sausages or two eggs and two slices of toast.
Yeah.
On their menu, the eggs are €2.50 and the toast was €2, but they charged me €6.05 and claimed that because it wasn't the main meal, they had to charge me, they weren't able to charge me the extra prices. Because on their menu, the prices that are shown for those items are classed as extras.
Okay, so a full Irish breakfast in Dublin Airport. Are you airside or landside? Airside, I think, is even
I was airside.
Airside. €15.50 for the full Irish. And then there's a whole list of extras. Two pork sausages, two plant-based sausages, two white puddings, two black puddings, two scrambled eggs, €2.50, poached, €2.50, tomatoes, €1.50, beans, €2.50. And you went?
I just got two things off the extras, and they charged me €2.35 extra because I wasn't getting a main meal.
But it's a clue in the word extra.
Well, if you go to most places now and if you're in any place and you're getting extras, they charge you that price because that's what it's priced as.
But it's extra to what?
I don't know. I was already getting a side order, I suppose.
But are you like, you're not. I don't know whether you've seen this mem going round at the minute. The fella goes up to the, it's in an off license, goes up for like four cans of whatever you're having yourself, Heino or Carlsberg, and it says buy four, get one free. Four, fifth one free. And he puts the four up on the counter and he says, the off-licence owner says, the fifth one is free. And the man says, grand. He takes the fifth one and he walks out. Anyway, back to Mary. Mary.
Yes, Joe.
And did you query the sausage roll at 9.80?
No. Actually, Joe, to be honest, I did not query them because I was so shocked. I had a tenner in my hand, and all I said to the guy at the counter, at the till, I just said, you can have them back, you can keep them.
And was it in? Was it a very high-end establishment? Was it Chapter 1 of Giba?
No, it wasn't any high-end establishment. I'd rather not say where it was because it's down in Crumlin, and you know it's a big building down there. I don't want to say.
But is it? Okay, but there's no Mary. Don't be worrying. They're not going to come round to your. They're not going to come round to your house. Don't be worrying.
No.
Is an establishment open to all? Can anyone go in to this place?
Well, actually, it's a hospital.
Okay.
It's a hospital. And
well, you would expect to get half decent prices there, wouldn't you, for staff and everything?
Yeah, well, I was prepared to pay a decent amount because they look delicious.
No, I'm saying I thought the prices would be more reasonable in a hospital, given that hospital staff and medics and porters aren't low. Yeah. New medics aren't well paid.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but I spoke to two doctors coming out and I said, gosh, how do you eat in here? And I said, it's extraordinary price. And two doctors just said, we don't. He said, we don't.
Wow.
No.
Okay, stay there, Mary. What do you think of Keith's idea that he went for the extras in Dublin Airport and they wouldn't let him have them unless he paid a premium? Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand that because I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but he may have ordered a full breakfast and he wanted an extra.
No, he didn't. See, in fairness to Keith, the extra just says extras. It doesn't say must be bought in conjunction with. Just says extras. And he was. Yeah. Keith, were you being very smart, like?
No.
Did they think you were being smart?
No, because when I got charged the price, I took maybe a step back and then I went, so should that not be 450? And he says, that's the price, there's your receipt. And I says, but it says on your menu that it should be 450.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and says, well, that's because you're not getting the main meal. We have to charge you more. But he was very snotty about it.
Okay. What do you think of Mary paying $9.80 for two small sausage rolls in a hospital?
Extortionate. And that's the country that we're in at the minute.
Okay. Pat, back to Dun Stores and the Inside Soap magazine. What do you think of Mary's two sausage rolls for $9.80, 20 cent back out of a tenner?
I think that's disgraceful. Was that in a coffee shop or was it the staff canteen?
Not just a main canteen in a hospital open to all, like.
But I think if it's in Crumlin, they have coffee shops that are run independent to the staff canteen.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I don't think the sausage rolls are that price in the staff canteen.
Okay. Now the markup of nearly 60% on a UK magazine. From 3.99 to 6.40. Did you ask why it is so high?
No, because what happened was I came home and then yesterday I was looking at my receipt for my shopping because it has gone up so much.
Okay.
And then I saw the magazine. If I had seen it at the time on Saturday, I would have went into the newsagent across the road from Johnson City.
It's probably the same price.
Well, it may not be. And if it is, then there's a monopoly here.
Well, don't they say it's VAT and it's sterling and it's Brexit and it's Uncle Tom Copley and that? Good night, Irene.
Well, what I'm going to do, Joe, I hope to get out of work a little bit earlier this evening and I will call into Dunn's and I'll ask them.
Yeah, and maybe other shopkeepers and news agents around the country, why are UK magazines, surely they won't sell. If a magazine in the UK that's 3.99 sterling is 6.40, Is Inside Soap worth $6.40?
If you want a little bit of entertainment like I did, I didn't want to be shocked. I would have, yeah, it can be, but it's not something I'd buy every week.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be buying it every week of a $6.40.
I won't buy it again if it's $6.40.
Okay. Una, yeah. Conlon, Una, what did you say to the restaurant? The place
we
is
did,
empty.
Joe.
You said the place is empty. There was an echo. It was so empty. Why are you throwing us out at 8 o'clock? Do you all want to go home? Do they all want, maybe the staff wanted to go home?
I don't think so. I think it's just the restaurant culture at the moment is 2 hour slots. And if you look at the open table, which is what we booked through, two people get an hour 45. Four people, it goes up 15-minute increments for, that seems to be the culture that we're allowing to creep in and out.
Yeah, but they're all outside at all saying we've no business.
I know, I only read that article on the news today. Exactly.
So we left the restaurant on our knees, which I'm sure a lot of them are.
Yeah, and we left the restaurant and went somewhere else and had a bottle of wine and our coffee somewhere else.
Okay, so, and by the way, you pay, much did you spend in that restaurant where you
were? We spent €360.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, by the time we left and spoke to the manager, there was actually 60 seats empty. And they did say to us, look, we apologise. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have asked you to leave the table. But they still didn't offer us a table at that stage and said, look, we made a mistake. Sit down here and we'll sort it out. No, they allowed us to leave.
So you spent 360 and how long were you there for? Less than 2 hours?
Just over 2 hours.
That's,
yeah,
that's four people.
Yeah.
That's a fair amount of money.
It is a fair amount of money, yeah. But it just seems to be what we're
you
Irish
spent
people 360, have
gotten up with. You were there. You spent €360. You were there for 1.66. You're there for 120 minutes.
Yeah,
120 minutes.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So you were spending €3 a minute.
Yeah. And we would have spent more if they had a less.
Okay.
Stay.
Okay. Keith, how did it finish in Dublin Airport? Were you arrested or anything, or did you? Did you pay the extra?
Yeah. I paid the €6.05, and I the breakfast and left. I had to go and catch a flight.
Okay, and you're adamant there was nothing on the menu saying these extras are only available as in addition to a main course, so to speak.
No, there was. So I basically took what I seen as the extras as a price list.
Okay. There was nothing. How much did you pay for it? Much you pay for a bottle of water?
I went into the shop down in the terminal, and they were charging €4.05 for a 750ml bottle of Deep River Rock, which I didn't buy because I wasn't parting with it.
Yeah, but part of that is the return tax. The 25 cents, isn't it?
About 25 cents, Joe. It's not for you. It's not $3.80 for a bottle of water.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Just four examples there of what came in. Keith, Una, Pat, Mary. Good to meet them all. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text number. Where? Hang on, Jimmy Conlon. Jimmy, come in quickly, will you? Before the door closes behind you, quick, Jimmy.
Well, Joe, how are you doing?
Well,
I went to, my daughter had her party on the 7th of October, and we went to a certain place for food, and the next morning we had six breakfasts. Three of them were mini, and three of them were full breakfasts.
Yeah.
Tea, obviously, and the whole lot. It came to €132. I nearly fell down, nearly got sick.
€132?
Yeah, so I wanted to see. I said no. I said, what am I going to do with it? And then I didn't want to embarrass my daughters and nothing like that. So they said to me, just don't say anything. So I went to work the next day, and the girls and work told me, Jesus, you may query that. So I rang back the hotel. I rang back the hotel, and the one actually answered the phone was a bit surprised. So she said, I'll have to go on to the manager and ring you back. So she did ring me back. So she said, no, the manager says, that's right, we're not used to walking for breakfast in the morning. Have breakfast for guests.
Yeah.
And I said, but can you explain to me how mini breakfast costs the same as a full breakfast?
Oh, does it, yeah.
And she said, And she said, well, I can't. That's what I'm just told to tell you.
So €22 so you paid. Six into 132.
It was about 22.50 or something like that.
Yeah. And what was in a mini breakfast for €22?
And a mini breakfast is one sausage, one rasher, a poached egg, a half a black and half a white pudding, and your tea and your, what do you call it, your bread or toast, whichever you want.
Sure, that's not even half a jumbo breakfast roll. For €22.
Oh, I know. That was it, Joe.
22. And where? It was a hotel. Why won't you tell me?
Because the researcher told me not to give out the name.
Yeah, but you're not making it up, are you?
Yes, I'm not. No. Why would you make up a thing like that?
I know, exactly. So at least we can ring the hotel and say.
There was a lovely helicopter, actually, now that I think it's a helicopter on the lawn.
Go ahead.
That morning. It was,
So was it a high-end hotel? That's why we should. That's why we should know the hotel. Was it a high-end hotel, so to speak? Five-star? Give us the name of the hotel. I'll take it on the chin.
Right, Kennedy Castle.
Kennedy, okay. Lovely place. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. Okay. So, and they said 22 is... They don't normally do walk-ins.
They don't normally do walk-ins. Okay. They would have told us that. The only prices on the menu were the actual price of the tea. The tea and the coffee. Okay. And after that, they were all blank.
How did the wedding go?
What's that wedding? My daughter's 40th.
Oh, the 40th. So that's a great venue by all accounts. A great wedding venue.
Oh, no, we haven't got the 40th there. We only went out there next morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, Jimmy.
Thank you to God, that was a cost of fortune.
Cost of fortune. Okay, thanks, Jimmy Conlon. Sean Dignan. Sean.
Joe, how are you?
Good. What happened?
Joe, well, I tell you, Joe, I went out to a regular restaurant on Friday night with my wife. Not a Chapter One or anything like that, just a regular local restaurant. Yeah. Had dinner for the two, and my wife said she wanted to have an Irish coffee. I said, whatever, go ahead. Right. So she orders an Irish coffee. I get the bill. I pay the bill. And I look at the receipt the next morning, and the Irish coffee was €14.
Okay, good.
So I thought, €14, that must be, that has to be a mistake. So I rang anyway the next day, and the restaurant said, listen, I just want to ask you, is this correct? Like €14 for an Irish coffee, is that an error?
Okay.
And she said, no, she says, first thing she said to me was, no, that was a double measure.
Really?
And I said, well, we didn't ask. She didn't ask for a double measure, but be that as it may, then she said to me, well, look, that's the price on the menu. You can kind of take it or leave it. And I thought, wow, I thought my first thought, Joe, was we went out for dinner in a local restaurant. I know how tough things are in hospitality, but it left. I have to say, I just went, do you know what? Really? €14? No, that's not fair.
It left a taste.
It did. Bad taste.
And was it a double measure? Did you sense? I don't know. Do you know? Would you know the difference? The measures, the measures are so small anyway. They're thimblefuls. Unless you're
ordering Bailey's. Did notice that my wife now, she was certainly in good form when she left.
Great, but okay. Then did she know at that stage it was €14 for one?
No, she didn't care, but I mean, she didn't know there was a double measure in it.
Yeah, they said it was. Okay. €14 for an Irish coffee. Is that... Is that too pricey? Thanks, Sean. Sean Dignan, Robert O'Shea in Tipperary. Sean, what your observation, please, Robert? I've noticed this myself. Well spotted.
Every Sunday, 2.70 in Northern Ireland, 4.20 in the South. So the question I'm asking is: Are we overtaxed? Is it taxes causing the error of paper in the South, or is it just rip off Republic?
2.70 sterling, is it? Pounds, right. 2.70, and 4.20. I know it's 4.20 down here. I get it every Sunday.
And by the way, Joe, it doesn't matter whether the pound is 89 or 83. Yeah. Even make it up as 83 at the moment. I think it works out around 3.20. 2.70 is equal to 3.20.
But
so
you know
they have minimum a euro.
Yeah, but you know what the Sunday Indo would say. Well, you can apply it to Carras Éireann as you can to Carlingford or beyond, Coosla or Cushion Dal. They say transport costs, but then again, you have to get it down to Kerry, haven't you?
You have, but I mean, it's dearer down here. It should cost more in the north if you take that analogy, because it's costing them to ship it up to the north, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's also costing them to ship it down to Kerry. They don't.
I agree with that, yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying.
So I'm saying it's the same distance. So why suddenly?
Absolutely.
Because it goes over the border. And the daily in those 260 in the south, as you know, and 180 in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But then you have other, in fairness, now, not just the Indo, is it? You have other papers. If you go on, say, to the Mail or the Star or the Sun or the Mirror, who have two editions. Now, the Sun sells up north as well as down south. And the prices are different for the exact same product from the exact same company. But anyway, it's the same with the Indo. It's not just the Indo. I'm saying it's not just the Indo.
The Indo is the one I get every Sunday.
Yeah, but I just... Like, this, the Star is 260. I don't know what it is up the north. I don't know what the Mail is. I know that the Mail is, what, 270, 280. I'll check it out now for you. But God, Irish newspapers, I know they're up against it. I know they're up against it. But God, you can, and I know it's not comparable, but you can get a newspaper in the UK for less than a euro. One of the tabloids, if not all the tabloids, for less than a euro.
Well, unless that's part of the reason why they're selling it so cheap in the north, is to attract readers from the north or something, I don't know. But
well, the Mail,
the expensive readers in the south.
Well, the Mail down here is 240, and it's a pound up in the north. Wow. That's a difference. Well, but
I'm in Tipperary. I don't have the choice of going into the north for it. But I mean, anyone living up on the border, sort of, if they want to buy an independent or a Mail or whatever, and Sunday want to pop in over the border and buy it and be paid for it.
Robert, but the other thing is, well, maybe, like, all the newspapers are fighting against this. Well, not fighting. They're realising people are going to digital, and I presume a hard copy of a newspaper is going to get more expensive because they're printing fewer of them and distributing fewer of them. And maybe it's a way.
Possibly. Now, I haven't looked into that, but I mean, and I just asked the question then, I mean, if you're registered, is the digital version of it cheaper in the north than it is in the south?
Well, that's a good
point.
That's
just maybe another question.
Well spotted. Okay, Robert, thanks indeed. Robert O'Shea, Tipperary, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Okay, the clocks, as you know, fall back next Saturday night / Sunday morning. Sunday morning, really. So we have an extra hour. Now, some people are fed up with it, going back, going forward. And some people refuse. Etna Ring, lovely name for the topic we're about to talk about. Etna Ring, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
For many years, did you refuse to change your clocks twice a year?
I did, because I felt I was gaining an extra hour of, you know, like daylight, basically. So, but I'm afraid technology then got the better of me. It wore me down.
Okay, how long did you resist the change?
Myself and my husband did it for years and years. I was trying to remember when we actually decided then that we just couldn't cope anymore. I'd say it was when we changed to certain smartphones. They got smarter and we got dumber, you know.
So you would operate from next Sunday onwards, for example.
Yes,
from next
yes.
Sunday onwards, the clocks fall back. So that means at 9 o'clock
is
8 o'clock.
Well, 9 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
So we have an extra hour. You wouldn't change them?
No. In our house, we wouldn't change them. So we had house time, and we had, once we left the house, then we would be back to normal time. Well, depending on where we were going. So the car, we used to change the car because we didn't know how to do it, but that was too much hassle. So the car remained the same as well, the clock in the car. But but now I suppose we stopped using real clocks as well because we started to depend on our phone a bit more, you know.
So you were surrounded by technology and you were beaten.
Yeah, except the other thing then was that our dog refused to be beaten. So that was one thing then we had to contend with. We'd have to wean the dog. We'd have to feed her earlier.
Okay.
Because the dog would demand food at the same time.
But what about hospital appointments, train, bus timetables? You're operating an hour.
Yeah.
So come next Monday morning, when it's 11 o'clock in your house. If you, sorry, Sunday morning, if you hadn't been beaten, it'd be 11 o'clock in your house. But in every other house in the parish, it'd be 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but you see, I wouldn't have that many appointments. That's the thing. It depends on your lifestyle, and it's just for us. That's just something we decided to do.
And why? So, why did you not fall in twice a year, spring forward, fall back?
Well, I just like the extra hour in the evening time. Now, some people prefer it in the morning time, but really, you know, you're rushing around. I think most people, they're getting ready for work or school or whatever in the mornings. And nowadays, most people don't walk, you know, people take transport and all that. So it doesn't seem to matter as much in the morning time.
So you had a longer what was it like psychologically?
Great, because you felt, you know, you were getting, you know, everybody loves the stretch in the evening.
Yeah.
So you felt that you were getting that extra little bit of, you know, and sunshine, because it doesn't always rain in Ireland. You know what I mean? You're getting an extra bit of daylight, and it's in the evening time when you're finished work and you can take the dog for a walk, or you can get out.
And what about the other half of the year where you wouldn't change either? What would you get out of putting the clocks back?
Well, it's okay for the other half. You don't seem to notice it as much, but in the winter time, but in the winter time, you definitely benefit. And I think also people complain about being tired when the clocks do change, so you don't experience that either, because you're just remaining the way it is, that you're not getting used to a different light all of a sudden, you know, or lack of it.
And were you in better form during the winter when you stuck with the old time?
I don't suffer from being in bad form as such. But definitely, it does make a difference. You know, I was even thinking, like, say, they're going back on the 27th, isn't it? And my birthday is actually on the 28th. So I was thinking, do you know what? I might try it again and give myself the present of an hour of extra daylight. I mean, that's a great present to give yourself, and see how long I go, you know. But it'll mean, if I do it, it'll mean that I will have to put batteries back in clocks and non-digital clocks, which might be a nice thing to do anyway.
But it is, that point hadn't struck me, that it is extraordinarily difficult to be technology now. The clocks, your phones, even your car,
everything
will go back automatically.
Yeah.
And did you
exactly.
ever miss an important appointment or train or whatever because you were living in the old time?
No, I mean, I'm not great at maths, but I can add one or subtract one, depending.
Now, what did your friends think?
Some people thought it was a good idea, and some people thought we were mad, you know. But it suits our lifestyle.
Did you know of anyone else who did it? Who refused to put their clock back?
I did. I met a few people. And they thought, similar, you know, for similar reasons, that they just didn't see the point in giving yourself an hour of extra darkness when you could have the light.
And come Christmas Eve, did you arrive on Christmas before the rest of us or after the rest of us?
Well, you see, different parts of the world do the same thing,
I
know,
of course, yeah.
So,
but,
yeah.
No,
so,
but I mean in Ireland, we've only one time zone in Ireland.
I used to be out kind of celebrating it to the same degree that I used when I was younger, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But I was given the present of a cuckoo clock and by my mother, actually, who passed away about a year ago. So I kind of hated the chimes of the cuckoo clock, and it was a bit of a pain in the arse just kind of setting it, because you'd have to wind the hands around and all that to get the... So if I don't wind the cuckoo clock to the, if I don't change the time, well, it's okay. A lot easier. So I might think, I think I'll do that, you know.
But basically, the steamroller of technology has flattened you, and you're now...
It has.
It's flattened you, yeah. Okay. Because, yeah. And listeners, and Aetna, maybe you'll join me here, like, it's not too long ago, I remember reading a John McGahan short story, fantastic story as usual, where there was no clock in the house. Clocks cost money. And what they would do is they would time their day by, and they lived up, obviously, up at Boreen or whatever. They would time their day by the people going to, say, 10 o'clock mass. They'd see them going by the bottom of the Boreen at 9:30 or 9:45 or whatever.
Exactly.
But they'd no clock. There was a time in this country. No. And I say it's within living memory, where some houses had no clocks. Now, now what, we've 20, 30, 40, your radio, your iPad, your phone, your car, your oven, your air fryer, your toast, everything has a clock on
except people probably don't have analog clocks with hands that go around anymore, you know.
They're gone.
I think we should bring it back.
Is there, and now I remember vaguely, Aetna, bear with me on this, I vaguely remember hearing that there was a town in Ireland where one half was in the old time and the other half was in the new time. The town was split down the middle.
I'd believe it.
Would you? Okay.
I would in Ireland only. In Ireland only.
Okay. The split. Say there, Aetna, ring and Cork. Jimmy Chalk. Jimmy.
Yes, sure.
Are you an expert on time?
Indeed, I'm not, honey, killing it. Killing time. I'm an expert in killing time.
Well, go ahead. Kill. But, is there people like it? Now, Aetna's been steamrolled by Apple and Samsung.
Well, I did know of a person. Yeah, I did know of a person like it, certainly. But apparently, back in the, I suppose, 30s or 40s, whole parishes would decide they'd either go all time or no time. And they'd actually vote on it.
Wow.
And I'm aware of one parish in rural West Limerick that voted to change by 30 minutes. And that caused all sorts of consternation. And I remember my mother telling me that a traveller or a salesman says he's Angelus in Limerick City, and his next appointment was in Kilmallock, and about an hour later. It might have taken that length of time if he had to stop along the way or whatever. But
so
when he arrived to the shop in Kilmallock, he looked in the window and there was 4 or 5 people inside blessing themselves. And great God, he said, there must be someone dead here. But out of courtesy, he said, you better call in anyway. And he just whispered to the first customer he met, who's dead? Oh, no, well, she said, we're just saying our Angelus. By God, he said, I must have sent us an hour ago on Limerick. So, that's what was happening. And
why would people hold out?
I'd say they didn't like being dictated to. A man said to me, it was a kind of a rural rebellion, that we decide our time and we won't be taught. Even when the law came in 1916, just after the Easter Rising, the British imposed it on us, I think... Even they had some doubts about all this changing at times, and I believe people were sent to jail for missing their court date. They turned up an hour late because they were on a different hour, and you know, so like I know fellas that went to the creamery at the same time, whether it was all time or no time, they're tossed past the gate at the same time, all the time, all year round.
So up to 1916. Dublin had its own time, well, Ireland had its own time, called Dublin Mean Time, which was based on the longitude of Dunsink Observatory there, just out beyond Finglas. And we were 25 minutes and 21 seconds later than Greenwich Mean Time. In other words, if we were still in that time zone, it would now be, which is 22, it would now be about 5 to 2 in London.
Yes.
Whereas
and even
it's,
some people,
it's 2:22 here.
Yeah, some people.
So we were way ahead
of them. Dublin time. But they stuck with Dublin time for a long time after it changed, I believe.
Even though it was. And I know it's an odd difference, but it's to do with longitude and latitude and the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
But Dublin was 25 minutes and 21 seconds later than the UK, than GMT.
Exactly.
And we're on GMT now.
and then thrown out up onto that later on. A fellow was supposed to have called a meeting one time that was supposed to take place at 2 o'clock, but there was only a handful there. But they started coming in dribs and drabs. And when he asked why, they said, well, we're going by all time. And then another crowd of them started to drift in, and they said, well, we're going by Dublin time. So they were an hour and 25 minutes later than the time the meeting was supposed to start.
And was it because of the rising that they changed it, or was it that we were brought?
Someone said to me one time that they were amazed that it made so much headlines when you consider what was after happening Easter week and after Easter week. But this time apparently got huge headlines in the national newspapers.
Well, I'm reading the proclamation, so to speak, that went up, pasted up all over the country. Time Ireland Act 1916. It's from the Lord Lieutenant's office. On and after Sunday, the 1st of October 1916, Western European time will be observed throughout Ireland. All clocks and watches should be put back 35 minutes during the night of the 30th of September / 1st of October. The proper time to make the change is 3 a.m. Summertime, and the correction to the nearest second is actually 34 minutes and 39 seconds. By order of the Lord Lieutenant, Dublin Castle, 12th of September 1916. That's no messing, is it?
Good God. How did I calculate that?
Yeah. Where's Tom Crowe? Tom?
Joe, hi.
You're in Spain.
What?
Are you in Spain?
No.
Okay, just you have to come.
I wish I were, but
yeah,
anyway.
Same here. Go on, anyway, sorry.
Who's the woman who was on first?
That was Etna Ring.
Does Etna realise we are an hour ahead of Greenwich Mean Time now?
Okay.
That we're about on the weekend we are reverting back to.
Yeah, but what time is it in London now? It's 25 past two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 25 past two. Yeah. And we follow that time. So if Essence, to take it to a logical conclusion, should go out to the outside in her garden on and see the sun, you know how we have a beautiful sunny day every day in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Check at noon, check for the highest point of the sun, and that's noon on 7 o'clock according to that.
In 2019... Tom, you probably know this. Jimmy, stay listening. In 2019, the European Parliament voted to remove daylight energy saving time permanently. The initial plan was to stop seasonal time changes after spring 2021. However, this was put on ice due to
COVID, probably.
Exactly. Everything is due to COVID. So we were supposed to be... It's supposed to be gone, but anyway, it's still with us. Tom, I'll come back to
Tom Crowe. It came close to having two time zones on the island when.
Oh, I know.
Britain, having left Europe, weren't going to comply with the directive that all of the EU would have one time zone, and they would make the change in autumn and in spring, and Britain wouldn't. So the North would have been, I don't know what is it, an hour ahead of us or an hour behind us.
The vote, apparently, in the EU Commission...
I have a question for you, Joe.
Oh, Gina,
who says we have to do this?
Exactly.
On whose authority?
Who's in charge of the time? Who is in charge of the time? Tom Broderick. Tom. Yeah. I'll come back to you in a sec, Tom Crowe. Tom Broderick. Tom Crowe, who's not in Spain. Tom Broderick.
Yeah, hello.
Yes? Your point, Tom. Tom, come in.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, and I was just saying there to your researcher there now, I'm old enough now, I'm 71, but in the 60s, down the country where I came from, people went by the Angelus Bell at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's when that was quitting time if you were down in the bog or working out, making hay or whatever. And I remember working for this fellow one time, a local farmer, and the Angelus Bell went at 6 o'clock, and he told us not to pay any attention to that. He says, that's the young lad's messing going from school.
And what was it?
He said, I remember one time working for this local farmer, and the bell went at 6 o'clock, you see, so we were getting ready to pack in and go home, and he told us, no, it wasn't the Angela's bell. He says, that's the young lad's going from school messing.
He wanted to get more sweat out of you.
He wanted to get more sweat out of us.
And did you have, Tom, did you have watches?
No, very few people had watches in those days now. Yeah, because, you know, you were all young lads down working, and that was it. And all I ever remember, really, people had clocks, like different kind of clocks. Grandfather
clocks. There was only, I remember in our house, there was only one clock.
That was probably all. And the first watch ever I got, when I was maybe 17 or 18 years of age, you may remember it yourself, there used to be a company that used to advertise on the Sunday Independent Christopher's watches.
Yeah, vague memory, yeah.
Yeah, they had a place, I think, in Wexford Street. And you could buy a watch off them for, like, I suppose, £5, which was a lot of money that time. Now, I was born in 53, so you're talking about maybe 1970. Like, it started coming out in the 70s, then people started getting watches and that because people were travelling and people were going to England and that.
But I just wonder, Tom and Jimmy, come in to me now if you have the time.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is there anyone... On Friday, we found a chap, Lothar Lufer, in West Cork, who doesn't wear footwear. He goes around his bare feet, morning, noon, night.
I was listening to him, yeah.
Indoors, outdoors, okay. And he, from my reaction at the weekend, he sparked great interest. And is there anyone in Ireland that doesn't know the time? Do you follow me now? I know that sounds... Is there anyone in Ireland that's not bothered by the time, that doesn't have a watch, that doesn't have a clock? Are you following me?
Yeah.
Is there anyone that's
not...
Are we all slaves to time? Is there anyone in Ireland that's not bothered when he or she wakes up in the morning? I don't care what time it is. When I have me dinner, I just know it's the circadian rhythm of my own beautiful body. Do you follow me? Is there anyone in Ireland not bothered with the time?
There's probably a few people still like that, you know. Walk away.
Sorry, who's coming in there?
No, I only know of one guy now, one man that I do know. And he's older than me, but he doesn't have a mobile phone. He still has a landline. He doesn't have a mobile phone and won't have one.
Yeah, well, that's a few. There's a good few people like that, surely.
I wonder, yeah. I often wonder.
There is, yeah. Now, I want to know, is there anyone in Ireland not bothered by time?
Well,
if
you were a regular radio listener...
Yeah, of course.
You'd get from 6 o'clock in the morning. I could reel off the program for
and you're
just at 6 in the evening. And
you know what time it is to turn off the radio, Tom. And what time to turn on the radio?
You would.
Don't say
radio,
turn off now. Don't be saying turn off now. 1:45. I'll never speak to you again.
I
never have time for you again. I never had time for that bell anyway. Okay,
no,
Tom,
Joe,
is there anyone in Ireland that's not a slave to time? Now, if you go, which I did recently, to the Time Museum in Waterford, highly recommended, and they had a machine from the Institute of Industrial Research and Standards in Glasnevin in Dublin. It's where the Met Office now is. And that was known as an atomic time machine. And that machine was linked to Greenwich. There was only 32 of them in the world. And that machine gave us our time in Ireland. Do you follow me? That machine gave us the exact time in Ireland. So if you want every clock, every calibration in a factory, whatever, you wanted the exact time, that came from Glasnevin. Now, invariably, we had it because of the confluence of the world we live in with radios and televisions and timetables. But that was the... I don't know where the time comes from now. I don't know where I get the time, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, do you know, Jimmy, is it true that Moat in County Westmeath was divided in two? Time-wise, two different times.
I have the story. I did hear that, Elijah.
Yeah, okay. And are they still, I wonder?
I honestly don't know that. But I've been to that time place in Waterford as well, the Time Museum, and it's spectacular. Even
it
the
really
condition
is.
Of all the equipment there and all the various changes over the years, you know.
But why did someone stop me the other day and said... My father was into clocks, and they showed me photographs of his garage. Yeah. It's just incredible. Just incredible. Incredible. Where's Tom Fitzpatrick in Mayo? Tom?
Yeah.
How did you work out the time when you had no clocks in Mayo?
No, we were at 91 now.
Good man.
And we were, that time, Daddy always bring it down to cut the turf at Easter time.
Okay.
You know, when we were off school.
Yeah.
And the cutting time would be, we'd be waiting for the train come from 10 miles to Ballon Road.
Ah.
And we'd hear the train buzzing down below. Well, Daddy, the train is coming now. Well, it hasn't passed yet, has it? So he'd wait until the train was passed.
And then you were off.
And then they were off.
That was quitting
And there was
time.
Another guy. There was another guy in the village, you know, and he got a watch. And he didn't know. He didn't know how to read it.
Good
and
God.
He said, "Oh, Pete, what's the time now?" Oh, he'd hold up his wrist and say, "We never think it's that time now."
That it. So did you have a clock in the house? Do you remember, Tom?
No, we didn't. No.
Wow. Because clocks were expensive.
But that's the way it was. And you got up when we got it. You knew what time the bus was coming, or to go to school. You know.
Yeah.
I wanted the bus that time. We had to cycle, but we go by the train passing or the bus passing.
That's
the way it was.
Okay, Tom, you sound great. You sound you're in good form, good health, and stealthy. Tom Fitzpatrick, Tom Broderick, Jimmy Chalk. It's time to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As I mentioned Moat there, I should, because I've been talking to them for a long time now, Gillivan's Butchers in the main street in Moat. And you know the main street in Moat, the longer it gets, the mainer. It's a very, very wide street. Well, Gillivan's Butchers are behind the Run for MND. Wait for this. 4 marathons in 4 days in aid of motor neuron disease. A great charity, Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, if you want to donate, please. Day 1 is Athlone to Mullingar this Thursday. Day 2, Mullingar to Enfield Friday. Day 3, Enfield to Dublin Saturday. And day 4, obviously, Dublin City Marathon on Sunday. So whoever's running in that, when they get to Dublin on Sunday, they'll be doing their 4th marathon in 4 days. It's all in favour of, all in benefit for Run For, as in the number 4, 4 marathons, 4 days, Run For MND, and you can go onto the MND website to donate, please do. And that's the main backers there, are Gillivan's famous family butchers in Moat, and they've gone through a number of time zones because they were established in 1913. Where's Paddy in the United States? Paddy.
Hello, Joe. Good morning.
How are you? What time is it there now?
Good, doing good. Right now it's 25 to 10.
Oh, in the morning, so, okay.
In the morning, yeah, we're 5 hours behind. Normally we're 5 hours behind. This is the thing I just noted to your guys on the team. This time of the year, and also in April, we don't change the clocks till November 3rd.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, you know, Dublin and London are now 4 hours behind instead of
okay.
Five.
And is it confusing?
And Amsterdam is 6. It does, yeah, because you often software isn't always that intelligent with dealing with daylight savings time, right? So let's say you're working with Zoom or, you know, Outlook or one of those products, and you have a weekly meeting at time X. There's a couple of weeks there where people turn up late or early and lots of confusion about, you know, whose time are we running on right now?
Okay.
So it's just a little quirk of not being consistent in terms of the time that we made the changes. You know?
And what about how many time zones in the United States? How do you keep track?
Well, you see, at least they're consistent with each other, except for one little piece of Indiana, I think, doesn't change. But I know I'm always
6 3 hours
ahead of the West Coast and so on and so forth. Yeah, but you go, you know, East, Central, Mountain,
yeah, of course,
Pacific,
okay.
And then there's some oddities in between. So at least that's consistent across those, except, as I said, for the I think there's a weird little patch in Indiana where they don't observe the changes.
But, okay.
And I don't know why that is.
And is it? But is it chaotic, Paddy, or is it just chaotic for you dealing with Europe?
Well, I think it's the other way as well, you know. So if I have calls with folks
Zoom,
in Europe...
Remember, you get people... And Paddy, a lot of people here in Ireland are working off American time zones because that's their employer. In Zoom meetings or whatever,
right.
they work to American time.
Yeah.
And then I worked
for a company. It was an American, multinational, and they tried an experiment of everyone is on universal time coordinates, UTC.
Okay.
Which is
And
most of the year that's GMT, so the rest of the year is the 1 hour off. So that didn't work much better either. You know?
Okay. I just thought, given that there's so much blending now and melding between different geographies, but same companies and same teams. Like you can have a team now in a bank or Accenture or Pharma, or whatever. There could be 12 team members in 12 different time zones. Well, that's the world
exactly.
we live in.
And it gets confusing in a number of different places. So at one stage, I was working in cybersecurity, you know?
Yeah.
And you might be hunting down an incident. But if you do things in your local time, and you're looking for things that might have happened in Europe, you have to remember, it's that time of the year.
Yeah, okay.
I have to set the time coordinates somewhere else. It gets really, really confusing.
I bet you there's an Agatha Christie story with the clocks going back and forward plays some part in convicting the vicar. Paddy, tomorrow fortnight, what time zone are you going to be in tomorrow fortnight, do you think?
Yeah, I'm in Eastern, so we'll go back to being 5 hours.
No, I mean tomorrow fortnight, I'm talking about the election.
Oh, the election.
The general election.
At least the time will have settled down by the 5th. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't thinking of that. it'll be interesting. Might be time to do an early vote. You can do that nowadays.
And would you see the way your man Elon Musk, if you put your name down as a Trump voter, he puts every day between, which is 15 days, every day between today and tomorrow week, he's going to pick out a name and give him $1 million if you commit to voting for Trump. It's mad, Ted, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes steam come out my ears that these plutocrats can do things like that. You know, like, you remember the old thing, one man, one vote sort of thing.
But it is legal.
You know,
it is legal.
It is legal.
If you have someone mad enough to give out
$1 million.
Yeah.
Well, since the Supreme Court decided that anyone can build an organization, it's a PAC, a political action committee, and get money from wherever dark sources they like to whatever extent they can, you know, the murky underside of electioneering in the US is really weird.
Wow.
And I get about probably 6 to 10 emails a day from both sides begging me to do donations and promising that it'll be matched. So Musk is not the only one. He's just the most extreme example of it.
Do you mind me asking, if you go out socialising or even get into a chat with someone in a coffee shop, would you be quick to tell people what way you're going to vote these days, given it's so divided? Do you follow me?
I am. My wife says I need to be more cautious sometimes, but I'm an old school pinko liberal, you know, in American terms, I'm a commie. I think I mentioned this on your show before, but there are people that we've known for decades that we deliberately avoid now. And I don't disguise why, because I just can't stand that bizarre Trump religion, it's kind of really weird when you look at things like Trump at the Al Smith dinner with the cardinal smiling at him while he
Timothy Dolan.
Everyone around him.
What was that about?
Dolan, yeah.
And he was really...
I don't know.
He was really nasty. Well, how can he be otherwise? But this the Al Smith dinner, Al Smith was a very famous, famous, I think he was the first American presidential candidate that was Catholic. And then they set up a kind of a dinner in his honour every year where the money raised at the dinner would go to Catholic charities. And then it became where the presidential candidates would all speak and they'd roast each other. It'd be a bit of fun. And then sitting in the middle would always be the cardinal of today, Cushing. And today it's Timothy Dolan from New York. And there's Trump the other night at it, being extraordinarily nasty, as per usual, to Kamala Harris. Extraordinarily. But this was supposed to be a light-hearted piece. And Timothy Dolan, I don't know where the photographs come from, but Timothy Dolan is beaming up at him. Beaming up at him.
Yeah,
anyway, maybe that was.
And the crowd is also cheering and clapping. It's like, oh my God.
Really?
How can you associate yourself with that?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not what
I'm instructed to say. Trump was elected once and doing well in the polls. So clearly, not all Americans agree with Paddy or Joe.
And that's very true.
That's
probably 50%, and that's the problem.
That's fine. Yeah. People know that. People know that.
Yeah.
He still gets...
But it does make you nervous. You say any random person you meet in the street could be one of them. That's the way I'm starting to think about it.
Okay, Paddy.
So
let's see. Keep the faith.
Right,
mind yourself. Thank you. That's Paddy in the USA back after this. And no, back in jig time, actually.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715
Bob, sorry for holding you there. I know you're stuck for time. What do you do, Bob?
Hey, you, Joe. How are you?
Good, good, good. Tell us. Seiko.
Yeah.
And those should find them.
I was ringing up about the vintage clock I have. It's Seiko clock. It's from the 1950s and talking about time. I look forward to winding it every second day. And I love to hear it chime. It chimes on the hour. And even through the night, I can hear it. It never disturbs me.
How long have you got it?
I only bought it last year, but it's from the 1950s. Tell you what, Joe, I'll push it forward to 3 o'clock now.
Okay,
and
do that.
Time,
yeah.
Right?
Everyone in Ireland now, we're all going forward 12 minutes.
Well,
we're
all going forward. We're
all
take
going
a jump
forward.
By 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay. It's now just coming up to 3 o'clock here on RT Radio 1. And that's it.
There you go.
That was a bit of a
limp. Did you hear that, yeah?
Just about. That was very anticlimactic. As the actress said.
Did that come across? I should have put it on speaker. It probably didn't come across loud. No, but I can actually hear that tick. When I'm in bed, I can hear that clock tick.
And come here, can you put it forward to 4 o'clock then? We might get another go at it.
Okay.
Hold it up closer. Okay. You're listening
to I'll put you on speakerphone, right?
Yeah, you're listening to RT Radio 1, where it's just coming up to 1 minute to 4 o'clock.
Ready?
And this beautiful afternoon. Go ahead, you ready? Bob, yeah. Well done, four bells.
And when I got initially four shot, a clock has to, an old vintage clock has to be happy, it has to be level. And when I got a four, so I put it up in the wall, it only run for 20 minutes and it stopped. So I rang the guy up to a lot off, and he told me that you have to make it level from the 6 o'clock to the 5 o'clock, and then you have to put something at the back.
Okay, knock yourself off speakerphone there. Do you have many other clocks in the household, Bob?
No, it's watches then I collect. I collect Seiko watches as
and
well.
How many have you got in total?
I'll probably have around 30.
Okay, and why Seiko?
I don't know. I just kind of made a connection. I like Japan anyway, so I like the quality of the items to make. And,
okay.
And the thing about Seiko watches, you can buy one like from $50 or from €50 to €50,000.
Okay, and would you consider yourself a horologist?
Are you
an Aquarius? In Aquarius.
Very good, actually. But no, I'd definitely be into watching.
Okay, I'm running out of time, Bob. Go to me at mahagajoe at rt.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Did you know that there is an island between Russia and Alaska called the Diomedes Islands, D-I-O-M-E-D-E-S. They're 4 kilometres apart, but they're in two different time zones. And those two different time zones have a difference of 21 hours. 4K apart, Big Diomede is almost a day ahead, appropriately enough, have little Diomede. And there's about 8 to 100 people living on little Diomedes, and there's no people, no population on big Diomede. And if they did, they'd be a day ahead. Where is Colette? Colette Gaynor, go back to Barefoot. We mentioned Lothar again. You have another Barefoot story, and it's your child. Tell us, Colette.
Yes, Joe. My youngest daughter, Colleen, she's in university now in Amsterdam and Groningen, so I can talk without her here.
Okay, great. Yeah.
But she never wore shoes. I think until she went into sixth class, wow. I actually couldn't get her to keep a pair of shoes on. Fifth or sixth class was the first time she started wearing them.
She wouldn't wear shoes. Why?
No, she used to throw them out the car window. In fact, I'll tell you a very funny story. She'd take them off. I'd put them on in the morning. We'd walk to school. We'd get to the school. She'd take them off and she'd put them in her bag. And her teacher was beautiful in baby infants. And Miss Shaughnessy used to say, look at Colette, I've tried everything, but she won't take them on. When she'd ask Colleen, why won't you put on your shoes? She used to say, I'm saving them for later.
Wow. And tell us, when you buy her a pair of shoes.
Well, it's happened so many times, but there's one particular incident that I remember. We were going swimming in Cavan, and I'd put the shoes on her. We were on the way in the car. She was about maybe 4 and a half at the time. And we were going the back road into Cavan, and we were going by our lovely local hardware shop. I have to give them a big shout out, Gould's Hardware and Crostoni and Timber Products. Anyway, I had to slow down. There was a car or a tractor in front of me. Had to slow down. The next thing, get to Cavan, no shoes. Where's the shoes? Don't know. I left them outside, Mambi. I left them outside. So obviously she had the window down at some stage and threw them out the window. Anyway, I went back and I got one of them. I got one. She had thrown out one. And thanks to Andrew, I hope if he's listening, he remembers. This is 20 years ago. And he had the shoe. He had one shoe, one dark
and
shoe.
And you say she
never did find the other one.
She wouldn't wear shoes until she, hit 12. And now
about,
that she's...
About fifth class. Fifth class.
And now that she's in her 20s, how does she reflect back on it, Colette?
Yeah, she still doesn't like shoes. The minute she comes in the door, she takes them off. Still hates them. Can't abide them. Can't just abide them. The minute she comes in, she takes them off. But we were in Cavan one evening of a Christmas Eve doing a bit of Christmas shopping. And I had the three kids with me. And my eldest girl, Susie, was with me. And we came out of Tesco's and Colin was with me and no shoes. And this man came up and he put €10 on my hand and he said, listen, missus, it's Christmas Eve. Buy that child a pair of shoes for Christmas. And my eldest girl still being embarrassed about it. She's making a show.
That is absolutely brilliant. Fair play to her. Now, I heard at the weekend the story that there's some shops now around the country that when you go in with a child to try on a pair of shoes, they'd only let you try on one shoe. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
I don't know
that.
Whether they were stuff of being that, robbed. Or, they'd only let you try on one shoe. Either you pick the left or the right. Okay, I admire. What's she studying? What's she doing in Amsterdam?
She's doing English literature.
Oh, magnificent. And remember,
she's
Amsterdam.
She's on her Erasmus year in the University of Groningen. It's a lovely city, Joe. I was over there a couple of weeks ago. It's fabulous.
And I was reading at the weekend. Have you heard about Our Lord in the Attic? Have you heard about that church, the hidden church in Amsterdam?
No.
When Catholicism was banned by whoever, the Calvinists or the Reformers or whatever, back in 15th, 16th century Amsterdam, there's this house, you know, these beautiful Dutch houses, you've seen them all lining the canals, three stories. Well, one of them was a hidden church, and when you go in through the normal door, it's a cathedral inside with a beautiful vaulted ceiling. It's called Our Lord in the Attic. Anyway, Colette, will you tell your daughter we were asking for Fergus McDermott? Fergus, Italy.
Hi.
You have information that may be of assistance to the authorities. Go ahead, Fergus.
No, it's just I was listening to the programme about the railway and, or not the railway, but timetables and so on. And I was just rang up to say that the actual introduction of the railway system in Britain in the 1840s and 1850s led to the introduction of standardisation of time across the United Kingdom and cross into Ireland. The same happened in other countries in Europe at a later stage, in Russia, France, Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm ringing you from Italy, actually. It was in the 1866 in Italy with the when they became independent and the unification of Italy. But in Britain, it happened first in the 1850s on the Great Western Railway, mainly to make sure people got the right time for their train to when it stopped at a station, because they prior to that, they had used sundials and solar time.
Gosh,
so each town, as you progressed from east to west across Britain, was 6 or 7 minutes later than London.
You
and
didn't
so
know
on.
Whether you were
and
coming or going on the train.
Yeah, exactly. And by the time you got to Dublin, you were in a completely different time and so on, and the west of Ireland. So it was literally the railways which began it, and industrialisation and then
course,
coming up the telegraph.
Well, look at now, technology. It's the first year we've
tried.
I think we did it 6 years ago, but this is the first time, Fergus, where I've called out during the promo. Anyone still refused to turn back the clock, and we used to get a number of people. Now they're gone. They've been steamrolled by technology. Lydia, Leida DeForge. Leida, good afternoon. You're in Arizona.
Hello.
Tell us.
I'm not in Arizona.
Okay.
I'm from there.
Okay. And your observation, please.
Well, Arizona has never had daylight savings time.
Oh, wow. Why not?
From the inception of the state, I assume because it's such a sunny place. It's a hot, it's the hottest place on Earth outside of the Sahara.
Wow.
It's like, it rains maybe once every year or two.
Okay.
So there's a colossal amount of sun. So the idea of maximizing daylight is not really important. I assume that's the reason.
Yeah.
But because the only other state in the United States that doesn't observe daylight savings time is Indiana, which has a completely different climate. I have no idea what that's about. But it means that when you're in Arizona, you're in the mountain time zone for half the year and the Pacific time zone for the other half of the year.
And
I always found this fine when I lived there, but it's trickier now that if somebody asks me what's the time difference, and then I have to. Okay, well, what time of year it is, because it will be either 8 or 9 hours, depending. And it gets somewhat, it throws me, because I just grew up without it. So it was not part of my world, this changing of the clocks thing.
And are there 4 seasons, Leida, in Arizona? Are there 4 seasons?
No.
No.
No, no,
okay,
no.
So it's
not at all.
The way we have here, 4 seasons in 1 day. Okay, Leida. Like, sorry, I'm out of time, unfortunately. That's Leida DeForge. Good evening, Margaret, Leida. And by the way, the interview, Meaning of Life interview with Sinead Bourke, is up on the RT Player every Sunday night now, 10:30. Dave Gibson on sound, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, Annette Egan producer. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cozy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.